You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
Good morning. You are listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Madeline Taylor. I will be your host for this week's episode. I am of British and Danish settler heritage and grew up on the traditional unceded territories of the Semiamu and Kwantlen peoples in Surrey and White Rock. So I am filling in for our regular hosts, our regular Unceded Airwaves hosts, Willow, Celia, and sometimes Sam this week, and I'm grateful to them for this space. So this hour, we're going to be talking about Indigenous art initiatives happening in Vancouver in the lead up to National Aboriginal Day. So in the first half hour, I have an interview with Marissa Emma Smith, the director of OWE Lost Lagoon, a play written and performed by Kulimia Sparrow. It opens tomorrow at the Fire Hall Arts Center in East Vancouver. She and I spoke last week. And in the second half hour, I have a live interview with Samantha Marie Nock, a representative of the Bill Reed Gallery. And so we'll be talking about a public art initiative that they have opening up today at 5 p.m. called My Reconciliation Is. So stay tuned for that. The project they will be launching is happening at the corner of Burrard and West Georgia Street in downtown Vancouver. But first, I wanted to start us off with one of my favorite tracks from a Polaris Prize-winning artist, Tanya Tagak. And she did a fantastic cover of a Pixies song called Caribou. And it was off of her Polaris Prize-winning album, Animism. So this is Caribou by Tanya Tagak on Unceded Airwaves.
Thank you. to bother either way. Maybe he will come out of this loving me. Maybe he will come out of this. I smell declarations of solitude. Maybe he will come out of this Vietnam that comes after the war. Let's in my house. This wild lion doesn't fit in this chair. Maybe he will come out of this loving me. Maybe he simple, one feeling at a time. It reached its peak, then transformed. These abstract, complex feelings, I just don't know how to handle them. Should I throw oil on one of these moves? But where one, make joy peak, humor peak, frustration peak, anything peak for clarity. Maybe he will come out of this loving me. Maybe he
just like to know.
This is Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. That song you just heard was Lion Song by Bjork off of her most recent album, Volnicara. And before that, you heard Tanya Tagak with her cover of the Pixies' song, Caribou. My name is Madeline Taylor. I am a host today on Unceded Airwaves. I am of British and Danish settler heritage, and I am a guest of the regular hosts of Unceded Airwaves, so thank you to them for that. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, today we're going to be talking about Indigenous art initiatives happening in Vancouver right now. And so it's time for my first interview, which is with the director of the play Oui, Lost Lagoon, which is opening tomorrow at the Fire Hall Arts Center. I spoke with director Marissa Emma Smith last week. And a little information about what Oui, Lost Lagoon is all about. So, sitting tranquil between Huai Huai, which is Stanley Park, and downtown Vancouver, Lost Lagoon used to flow freely. It now stands landlocked and is often used as a duck feeding pond. But there's a lot of Indigenous heritage there that is often not talked about. So Quilimia Sparrow, the writer and solo performer of Oui, Lost Lagoon, uses the metaphor of this water being held to explore themes of healing, reclamation, and change in this new work that, as I said, is debuting tomorrow. So Quilimia Sparrow is a mixed-race Aboriginal woman in present-day colonized world. She centers herself at the core of this story, which is a spiritual canoe journey. She worked as an international model in the 1990s, and through humor, she tells her own story of reclamation and change. So this is my interview with director Marissa Emma Smith of Oui, Lost Lagoon.
My name is Marissa Emma Smith, and I am the director-producer of Oui, Lost Lagoon, written by Quilimia Sparrow, and I'm also the artistic producer of Alley Theatre.
Great. So this project has been in the works for about 5 years. At what point did you get involved?
Just over a year ago, actually. Heidi Taylor, the executive director at Playwrights Theatre Centre, and I were having a conversation about content for Alley Theatre's upcoming projects and stuff, from that conversation, she hooked me up with Quilimia, and we had a great conversation, and she sent me the script, and the rest is history, really. It's been an amazing year of development work and figuring out which amazing parts of Quilimia's life to put together into this thing.
Yeah, what specifically about the story did you find invigorating when you first heard it?
Well, for one, I found it, like, first off, when I read it, it was incredibly easy to read. And it sounds funny coming from a director, but I actually have a hard time reading plays. I find them really stilted, and usually they're heavily dialogue-driven, so you have to really fill in the blanks a lot, and it can be a bit quite tedious. But for some reason, her work just, it's so personal, and it read off the page just like she was talking to you. And so many of the stories are just, like, you can't even believe them. I mean, Quilimia, she was a model for 10 years and traveled all over the world, mainly in Europe and in Asia. And she had many, many a celebrity encounter and things like that. So when I was reading it, I kind of was like, is this all true? Like, I kind of didn't know, and I was kind of awkward about asking her. I was like, this is really exciting, but is it all true, or did you just sort of get carried away and make some stuff up as well? Like, she's like, oh no, that's my life. So that was my first impression. And then, of course, like, I think my initial impulse for wanting to develop the work was that I've always, for the longest time, I've wanted to bring First Nation stories to light in a more mainstream context. And so I thought Quilimia was, like, kind of the perfect person to be doing this. I mean, her mom is a land claims negotiator, and she grew up on reserve Musqueam, and she has Musqueam and British heritage. So in a way she kind of, what she expressed when she was in her early stages of writing was that somehow her identity almost feels like a vehicle for bridging the gaps between the Aboriginal community and the non-Aboriginal community, especially in the arts. And so so that's another aspect that really attracted me to directing the piece as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned that you wanted to bring Indigenous stories to light and that this was the right project to do that with. That lines right up with the mandate of Alley Theatre. I was wondering if you think there's anything specific about the tradition of Indigenous oral storytelling that made Kulimia's work jump off the page as you described, whereas so many other plays fall flat until you see people performing them.
Yeah, maybe it was that. I'm not sure. There's definitely something very spiritual about the piece. And I'm not, you know, a traditionally, like, religious or, like, overly spiritual person, but it hits you in a very visceral way. And it's not written in your typical kind of traditional English kind of two- or three-act structure. Like, there's not this, like, set beginning, middle, or end, but there's a definite arc to it, and it feels like a play when you're watching her and when you're taking it in. But there's also this element of, like, anything can happen here, like, there's no rules. So it's actually really, really exciting, and you know, coming from a more traditional background as a theater director and performer, it took me a while to sort of get used to that philosophy of, like, there are no rules and let's just go with this. So in a way, like, me working with her has been a process of letting go some of my old formal training and going, like, okay, let's just try this out. Let's experiment here and see how this process works. So yeah, definitely. I think, I don't know. That's probably more of a question for Kulimia, but maybe.
Yeah. Something I learned recently was that the word Musqueam means people of the river grass. And this story is lined up with her experiences modeling as well as a spiritual canoe journey. So I'm wondering, like, how do the themes of water permeate the story itself?
Well, I guess I can go back to the initial inspiration for the piece, which was some work and some research that Kulimia did with the Full Circle First Nations ensemble, and they came together and wanted to research the Indigenous history and place names in Stanley Park, which was originally called Huai Huai in that area. And that research led to Kulimia really looking into specifically into the area of Lost Lagoon. And not many people actually that live here know that Lost Lagoon was once actually a lagoon that water flowed freely in and out of. And then it got blocked up by the road going through to Lionsgate Bridge. So in a way... In a way, just even that statement of Lost Lagoon sort of being cut off in a way, and the water being kind of held by this sort of artificial little pond that it's now become, still a really beautiful place, but it's a real sort of metaphor for colonization and the fact that it's kind of going up against nature as opposed to going with nature and with the way the land used to be. So the water imagery, I think that it definitely flows throughout the piece in many ways, but I think the inspiration definitely comes from the land itself and from this area and you know, trying to articulate what this land looked like before it was colonized and trying to get, you know, trying to have that be wrapped around, you know, have us wrap that around our heads kind of in a really poetic, articulate way.
I wanted to bring it back to something you said before, where you were talking about having to let go a lot in process this piece. And even relating back to the legacy of colonization and the idea of water being held, did you have to interrogate your position as a person of settler heritage who was directing Indigenous art for this work?
You know, I've actually learned a lot directing the piece this year. You know, every chance I get to go to a First Nations Protocols event and learn more, I do. I mean, part of my inspiration for developing and producing this piece was also came from attending the Talking Stick Festival's industry series 2 years ago. It was an incredibly powerful, life-changing experience. I mean, I've always been interested in First Nations stories, but 2 years ago when I went to that industry series, it was very transformative for me as an artist as well as a person. I'm very humbled by the work that we're doing, and I definitely see myself humbled in that position, and feel that acknowledgement that we're producing this piece on unceded territories is super important.
I don't get the sense from all of the press around this piece and the imagery and everything that it's confrontational in its politics. So I'm wondering if you could speak to some of the lighter aspects of the play.
Well, for anybody who grew up in the 90s, it's just like Throwback Thursday times 100. it's full of joy and humor and family and in relationship. And, you know, Halimi is just an incredibly charismatic person. So just sitting there watching her and she's connecting with you, you feel part of it in a way as the audience. And so, you're going to, beyond all of the incredible issues that it brings to light in terms of where we are in Canada, it's also just an incredibly personal, engaging story, and it's a human story, and I hope that it sort of subverts anybody's expectations in terms of an Aboriginal woman's story, and I think that also I hope that people are surprised by how funny it is. and there's Candelario Andrade is putting together an incredible multimedia projection design as well. And Itai Erdel is doing our lighting. And Sandy Schofield is putting together a beautiful score. So in terms of the design of things, as director, I can really speak to how excited and thrilled I am with how things are coming together in the process right now. So, yeah.
In your Indiegogo video, you talked about community access as a goal that you had for the piece. And I'm wondering, where has that wound up now that we're coming close to opening night?
Hey, great question. No one's asked that yet. $2 from every ticket will be donated to the Vancouver Aboriginal Friendship Centre Society. We're also putting on a free performance there. We're also providing free ticket vouchers at the Carnegie Centre for residents of the Downtown East Side and to the Friendship Centre as well. So those are the main community outreach aspects. And then also, from that Indiegogo campaign, we were able to hire Kim Harvey as our community outreach coordinator. So she's been doing a lot of connecting around National Aboriginal Day and getting into the Friendship Centre and going to events to try and get more of the Aboriginal community just out to see the show. So, we're very grateful to all of our individual donors who helped make that happen.
Fantastic. And I just have one final question for you. Why was opening on National Aboriginal Day significant?
Well, I guess for two reasons. I felt like the first reason being that I just wanted to make every effort I could to make the event feel like super inclusive to our Aboriginal communities in Vancouver. And I felt like if it was kind of couched around National Aboriginal Day, everybody's kind of out and about anyways. And that might help with that. I also thought that anything that we can do in this country to make people think a little bit and break down those barriers of apathy and ignorance and around the history of colonization is important. And so some of our social media and awareness campaign around the show itself has touched on that. And I hope that the people that come to our pre-show barbecue and pay what you can on National Aboriginal Day are able to kind of think about what the day means to them, whether you're Aboriginal or not. And almost in particular, like from my perspective as a settler, I also kind of want to challenge my community to really think about what that day means to them. I sometimes find the word celebrating National Aboriginal Day a bit contentious because I feel like, how do we celebrate this culture that our ancestors decimated? You know, it's coming back and it's beautiful. But that word celebrate, there's something to that. There's a duality to it. So anyways, I'm getting emotional just talking about it, but I think that's at the heart of it. So I just hope that it, on one hand, gives us a little bit of hope, but also on the other hand, gives us a wake-up call. On National Aboriginal Day, it's Pay What You Can, and we just found out that we have a food sponsor. Sunrise Market is going to give us some hamburgers and barbecue food for a pre-show barbecue at 7 p.m. So you can come and get your Pay What You Can ticket and then head out back for a barbecue and then go see the show after.
And that's at Fire Hall Art Center.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, Marissa, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Take care. Bye.
So that was an interview with Marissa Emma Smith, the director of a brand new piece of theater opening up at the Fire Hall Arts Center tomorrow night on National Aboriginal Day. The play is called Oh We Lost Lagoon, and it is written and performed by Quilemia Sparrow. And yeah, so it is in celebration of National Aboriginal Day. It's a very short run for this show from June 21st to 25th, 2016, and it opens, shows are at 8 p.m., and then on June 25th, there's also a matinee at 2 p.m., and $2 from every ticket will be donated to the Aboriginal Friendship Center, so a little bit of extra impetus, making sure that you get out and support this show. All right, so you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territories of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Madeline Taylor, and I am a settler on these lands and grateful for the guest spot today from Unceded Airwaves Indigenous Collective. And you can follow Unceded Airwaves on Twitter at Unceded Airwaves, and that's their whole handle. So follow there for updates on upcoming shows and links to the art that they like to talk about. All right, so up next, I have an interview with Samantha Marie Nock from the Bill Reed Gallery about a new project called My Reconciliation Is, a public art dialogue. But first, here is a song from Tribe Called Red. This is Look at This, and I will be back with Sam on the phone in just a minute. Welcome back to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was A Tribe Called Red with Look at This. And on the phone with me now, I have Samantha Marie Nock of the Bill Reed Gallery. And we're going to be talking about a new project they are launching today called My Reconciliation Is. So hello, Sam.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So first of all, I wanted to ask you if you could tell listeners, what do you do at the Bill Reed Gallery?
For sure. At the gallery, I'm the education coordinator. So I am in charge of creating youth programming and bringing in different school groups to come and enjoy the gallery and making it accessible and fun for kids, basically.
Awesome.
So I get to just hang out with kids all day and talk about art.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, well, can you talk a little bit about how this project got started, the My Reconciliation Is project?
Yeah, so kind of the foundation for this project started before my time at the gallery, actually. So the church that's kind of next door, the Christ Church Cathedral, is under construction, and they have construction hoarding on the outside, which is basically a big blank board. And they've been in talks with the gallery for a bit to do something with that board that would be a public art piece. And then when I came along, we decided to apply for a grant to the BC Arts Council that was a youth engagement grant. And so from there, we were inspired by Candy Chang, who is an American artist, what she did after Katrina with her project called Before I Die, is when she just took a bunch of chalkboards and stenciled the phrase Before I Die over and over and over again and left it in the public for folks to reply to. And so we kind of took inspiration from that and decided to take this piece of blank board that the church had donated to us, basically, and do something really similar, but instead talk about reconciliation. And so we have this big board that we have worked with artists to develop it into a really nice chalkboard, basically, where folks get to respond about reconciliation. And then from that, we turned it into a 6-week long youth workshop series as well. So it's kind of a long story.
Yeah, no worries. I just tweeted out a photo of what the wall looks like right now that you had posted. And so I'm wondering if you could describe it for listeners so that just to give them extra reason to get down there and have a look at it this evening.
Yeah, for sure. So it's 100 foot. So it's huge. 100 foot long mural that is between Burrard and Hornby. facing Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like this huge kind of cream colored board. And then in the middle of the board, there are speech bubbles that look like ovoid shapes, which are a really important part of Northwest Coast Indigenous design, especially Haida design. So we have thought bubbles that will be the actual chalkboard that folks can respond in. And then in between the speech bubbles, there's different figures that are kind of multicolored human shapes. There to kind of represent the diversity of the folks responding. And then on each side of the board, we have, or on one side, we have the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's call to action. Kind of we pasted up there in this giant poster. It's the biggest poster I've ever seen in my life. And then on the other opposite side of the board, on the corner of Hornby and Georgia, we're going to have text with a land acknowledgement. And just we are going to have crisis support text in case anybody has strong emotions come up from the board that they have support to call. And then just thanking the supporters and then the artists we worked with are going to put their name and yeah.
And who were the artists that you worked at? Just to ask a little bit about where the inspiration came from.
Yeah, for sure. So we worked with two Haida artists in Vancouver. So we worked with Corey Bullpit and Robbie Greery, who are out of Shop Wrong on Hastings.
And what do they normally, what kind of medium do they normally work in?
Corey does a lot of carving and kind of graffiti work, and Robbie's kind of the same vein. So a lot of, kind of cool urban style stuff that's really awesome.
Why was it important for you to have this piece in a public place? Why did you want public input in the piece itself?
We wanted to kind of take this. So the conversation of reconciliation has been controlled so much through the media, through the government, through different kind of really strategically picked talking heads. And it hasn't really been able to trickle down into the public to kind of have a big conversation about it. And at the end of the day, it's something that affects everybody who lives in Canada. So I wanted to kind of take it, this idea of reconciliation and this conversation around it, and bring it to a very public place in the middle of the financial district, to open it up to everybody, because it's something that affects us all. It's not just on Indigenous people, and it's not just on the government. It's something that everybody has to think about, because we're living in a territory that's under 500 years of violent colonization. We need to reconcile. So, yeah.
Yeah. What role do you think art has to play in reconciliation?
I think there's kind of two sides to that. So on one side, art is really an accessible means to communicate. And so art is something everybody loves, art in some form, right? Everybody can interact with art. It's really accessible and it's really universal. But on the other hand, when we're talking about Indigenous art, for us, it's a way that we can tell stories from. It comes from really long traditions, and it's a way to kind of assert your space and take up space in the city. So, yeah, it's two sides. So it's this one side where it's this really great medium that everybody can appreciate and everybody can interact with. But on the other hand, too, when you're talking about Indigenous art, it's this coming from this place where we can really take up space and we can really assert a presence, which is important.
Definitely. I watched a video recently that was one of the key contributors to the new curriculum that the Surrey School District is currently implementing, talking mm-hmm. about the role that education had in oppressing Indigenous people traditionally through residential schools, but then also the role it had in educating non-Indigenous people to devalue Indigenous art and culture. And so it's really interesting that you, coming from the perspective of the education portion of the Bill Reid Gallery and incorporating mm-hmm. youth into this conversation in such a public way.
Yeah, and at the gallery we are a mixed staff. So a majority of our staff aren't Indigenous, and then we are a gallery that's dedicated to Northwest Coast Indigenous art, and so there's already a really interesting conversation that's happening there. So when we're talking about reconciliation in the gallery, it's huge for everybody, because it's kind of this concept that's the glue that holds us all together and can make us this really rad space where we have this freedom to tell stories supported by really awesome people who do stand in solidarity. The staff here are amazing. Who can stand in solidarity and kind of rally around and kind of take reconciliation to heart and make it one of, like, kind of the main motivator for a lot of things that come out of the gallery. It may not be, like, right out there and obvious, like, this is reconciliation at the Bill Reid Gallery, but there's just a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that I think would be an amazing model for other folks to pick up.
Definitely. So I read online that there are a lot of Indigenous and non-Indigenous youth organizations that were also key collaborators in this piece and this mural. Why was that important?
It was important. So I purposely, when designing the youth workshops, I wanted to bring in Indigenous artists and artist facilitators to come and lead the workshops, but then also approach groups of youth that were Indigenous and non-Indigenous, because again, this conversation affects everybody. And I feel like when you're a kid and you're Native and you're in one of these situations and we're talking about reconciliation, you feel like the onus is on you to kind of present it and be the spokesperson from it. To be the spokesperson of it. But bringing this in together and having a facilitated workshop with Indigenous and non-Indigenous youth that can kind of both be there and process it together is taking the onus off Indigenous folks to kind of be the one to constantly forward the conversation, and opens it up to everybody to kind of sit there, learn, process it together, and empowers non-Indigenous youth to bring up these conversations to kind of process it themselves and stand in solidarity, which I think is pretty rad.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's opening today at 5 p.m. on Georgia Street at Burrard. If people want to come down and check it out, what can they expect?
It's at 5 p.m. at the Bill Reid Gallery, which is 639 Hornby Street. At about 5:15, there are going to be some remarks. So we have the wonderful Audrey Siegel from Musqueam doing a welcome. And then I'm going to go up there and chat again about this project and why I wanted to coordinate it. And then we're going to have the Reverend from the church. I cannot remember if that's the appropriate title. I'm horrible with this.
That's okay.
From the church, come and kind of tell his side of the story. And then Andrea Reimer is going to come and talk as well. And then we're going to break for a couple seconds so everybody can grab some tea. We have wonderful tea from Raven and Hummingbird Tea, which is a wonderful tea company owned by two powerful, amazing Coast Salish women. And then, yeah, Audrey is going to lead us out in a little bit of a ceremony to the board, where the people who came to the opening are more than welcome to be amongst the first to contribute their thoughts.
Awesome. Sam, yeah. Thanks so much for chatting with me today. I'm excited. I'm going to try to make it out this weekend to come and see it. But yeah, looking forward to seeing this piece.
Thank you so much. And yeah, for anybody who doesn't make it to the opening, it's going to be up for 6 weeks. So, and if you want to talk about it, just I'll be in the gallery. Hit me up.
Can they follow it anywhere online?
Yes, there is a Facebook page. So not just the event page, there is an actual kind of fan page thing where you can like it. I believe it's just called My Reconciliation Is. I can share that with you. And yeah, and you can track the hashtag on Instagram and Twitter and anywhere else that uses hashtags, just with My Reconciliation Is.
Awesome. Sam, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
All right. So that was Sam Marie Nock of the Bill Reed Gallery talking about a new public art dialogue that they are opening up today at 5 p.m. on the corner of Georgia Street at Burrard called My Reconciliation Is. So you can head on down to watch the opening ceremonies around 5 p.m. again today. And yeah, they'll have chalk for you so you can contribute to the piece. You can just chat with the folks who are there, just kind of soak up some of the energy that's happening around that gallery, around the gallery and around the piece itself. Okay, so I've got a couple more tracks for you before this hour finishes up here on Unceded Airwaves. Up next, I have a song by a local Musqueam hip-hop artist. Her name is Miss Christy Lee. She's a local favorite here at CITR. This song is called Experience.
For Adam and Eve, because I looked in a tunnel, and then while
I know, hide, then swallow, and quit, sneak, what's normal? Now what you gotta see is you and me be living in the times that they was living for. Now it's our turn to give it just a little more. It's our turn to spit what we learn and make a burn upon the spot. Believe it or not, we the future of history. So stop living your life like it were a mystery. You know who you gotta be, yo, just take a look at me. Little Miss Christy Lee, CM family. That's a secret, you gotta keep it down a lock. Show them what you got, we the ones that they was talking about. Without a doubt, time to let this out. Just be yourself and create your own well, own well, own well. The CM, the CI, yeah, steps in white summits and steps in I know. Hide the troll and quit sneak, quit nama. Done in the stale.
So that was Miss Christy Lee with Experience. You have been listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional unceded ancestral territories of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Madeline Taylor. I've been a guest host for this week. You'll have regular hosts back, coming back soon. Hopefully Willow will be back in the studios in the next couple weeks. So again, this hour I had the interview with Marissa Emma Smith, the director of Owee Lost Lagoon, a play written and will be performed by Kulimia Sparrow. It's opening tomorrow, National Aboriginal Day, at the Fire Hall Arts Center. You can find more information about that if you Google Owee Lost Lagoon. So it's OWET/LostLagoon, and we will be posting more information about that on CITR's Twitter page, so you can follow us on Twitter and find out more about that. Additionally, I spoke with Sam Nock from the Bill Reed Gallery, and they are opening their piece My Reconciliation Is, a public art dialogue, today at 5 p.m. You can head down to Burrard and Georgia Street to have a look, maybe contribute some of your own thoughts on what reconciliation means. So thanks a lot for listening. It's been really fun to hang out today. I'm going to leave you with one last track. This song is called New Sage by Mob Bounce. So stay tuned to CITR. Up next, we've got Synchronicity. Again, I'm Madeline Taylor. And be well. Take care. Happy Aboriginal Day tomorrow.
Can you feel me hurting? Yeah. I'm cleansing my aura with some new sage. Remain calm and collected when you rage. You're moving with the cool pace. Story of my life, something that I write. Take this book to a new page. The one you love is the universe that you make. You gotta give what you take to live a new way. Yeah, that's an IRA, raise. So what you vibrate? Can go higher rates and just a power way. So proud of hate up your chest, mate. This is not a chess game. You're not yelling out checkmate. My chest plate is made the blessed way. Palms up above my hair while I cover my flesh and jade. Dressed in pain, warriors always have the freshest way. I got the reddest braids, not on my head this day. But in my reckless ways, I know I bet this pain. Cause I let this shame take away from the game. So I turn this mic up and spit this game. Everyone watches my bounce in the rain. I just like the video, your pineal gland in your brain. I'm not here to hurt you. Self is a process. Patience is a virtue. Gradual progress. Ah, yes. Drama is silent, but I heard you. We are all stuck in these ruts. We are not nuts. We are all souls in the flux. Universal curve vibing with the crisp cuts. Old crows, young bucks, ux lux. You ain't gonna find you at the end of that bar of love. I see tears running down your daughter, love. Astrology gave me the right analogy. The stardust and that's the atomic is a galaxy. We are made of atoms, no fantasy. Everything is one and it's the ultimate reality. Disease came along with development. Manifest destiny where everything was heaven sent. Obsession with paper, history written clear. Started in the east, now it's here. I can see the felt since the beginning is near. We're
Things are not as they appear, like the white man depicting my crocodile tear. The oppression of a people for 500 years. You are the aliens and the terrorists. When will you see your exactly what you fear? When will you see your exactly what you fear?
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Returning on July 7th to 16th is the 6th annual Indian Summer Festival, a multidisciplinary arts festival.